challenging times that that I had in Fort Council was actually dealing with our own provincial government.
Okay. Can you expand upon that?
The moratorium being put in place was basically bad public policy due to the fact that the government had an agenda, and it was it was basically for to try to gain popularity and votes.
Okay.
and they put in place bad public policy without giving it much thought of the consequences, and that created huge challenges for the industry.
So moving back to 2008, when the moratorium was announced, obviously it was a temporary moratorium. What were you expecting at the time? Were you thinking, okay, well, this will be in place for a year or two and then we'll go back to normal? What was your thinking at that time?
Well, we were told at that time that if we did certain things towards educating the public and I guess came through things like the Clean Environment Commission with reports and positive reports, that the moratorium would be lifted. So we believed the government was dealing with us in good faith. But to our disappointment, later on, without any science to back it, then the moratorium was blanketed across the whole province. So it was disappointing to find out that we were being dealt with in bad faith.
So getting back to that Clean Environment Commission report, I mean, that's obviously when things change because, you know, as it was pointed out at the time, you know, there was no recommendation in that report saying, you know, we need to maintain the moratorium, but the government went ahead with that anyway. Was that where things really got politically strange, or how do you remember that time?
Well, you know, yes, it was. That really became politically challenging. The Clean Environment Commission report did not suit the government's agenda, so they ignored the report and made up rules that would suit their own agenda. So for us as pork industry, that became a huge challenge to counteract that, because if you're not counteracting science, and they don't have the science to do it, what are you supposed to base it on?
Right.
And plus the fact that they had already showed us they were not going to deal with it in good faith, so it's a real challenge on how to approach that after.
Looking back at that time, during that period, how would you describe your relationship with ministers and the government? Was it toxic, tense? Were you still able to have conversations? Like, how would you characterize that relationship at that time?
Well, the relationship was very tense. Due to the fact that regulation was getting implemented without science and people backing out on their commitments, but it created a very challenging relationship trying to figure out how to move forward and when you had already been dealt with in that fashion.
In a sense, the trust was broken between the two parties?
Absolutely.
And is that both ways, or just... Was that a one-way broken relationship, or was it broken both ways?
You know, there was no reason for the government to mistrust the industry, because we did everything that we were asked to do. So I don't know why the government would mistrust us. But for us, you know, we were told that if we had a good report of the CEC, we'd be able to move forward with removing the moratorium.
Right.
Which didn't happen. So I would say we gave the government no reason to mistrust us at all. We did everything we were asked to do.
Okay. Moving ahead to 2011 and the election, was that sort of the pork council or your hope at that time that there would be a change in government and therefore the moratorium could possibly be lifted? Was that your thinking at the time?
You know, I don't think a new government would have lifted the moratorium. As being a leader of an industry, you have to walk a fine line, and whoever the government of the day is the one that you're going to have to deal with. So you got to be very careful on to not choose sides in an election period.
Okay.
Or at any time.
So you didn't feel at the time that you were actively supporting the Tories, that you felt during that campaign period you were more or less just sort of presenting your concerns, your issues?
I definitely would not choose to support either side as being a leader of a commodity group, but during an election period is also a time to be able to push your issues to get them more heard than during the period in between the election.
But obviously the Tories supported the Save Lake Winnipeg Act, so it would have been very difficult for them as well to, you know, lift the moratorium given that position, right?
Yes, and that's the, you know, was probably one of the reasons, I gotta think of this one here.
Sure, no problem, yeah.
The Tories did support the Save the Lake Winnipeg Act at that time, so yes, it would have been very difficult if they would have taken power to have turned over the moratorium. But no matter what government were to have won the election, our goal was to be able to at least make some amendments to allow producers again to rebuild.
Just a couple last questions here. Here we are in 2015, 7 years after the moratorium, and we're still in a situation where the hog industry is, you know, I guess what word I would use is stagnant. It's not growing. It's kind of obviously stable, but there's a need for growth. How concerned are you about the state of the hog industry in Manitoba?
It's going to take some time for producers to get confidence that regulations are stable and will continue to stay stable going forward, and to restore that trust. That it will take some time to do that. So it's definitely going to take a while to rebuild it, but it's going to be a long, slow haul to get it rebuilt back to where it needs to be.
Do we have, like, the necessary construction companies and expertise and knowledge here in Manitoba? Does that still exist, even though there haven't been many hog barns built for a decade?
Manitoba lost a lot of their expertise on building barns over the past number of years due to the fact of the moratorium not allowing anything to be built. So it will take a while. But if that demand returns to build the barns, I believe the experts will come back.
Last one. In my job, we throw around the phrase social license a lot. You know, social license to farm comes up a lot in, you know, conversation. And I think of this, the Manitoba hog industry, as sort of a textbook example of that. How do you see it?
I think going forward, the challenge for all of agriculture is going to be educating the public. We're seeing a lot of increased demand putting on the grain farming side now. It's already happened in the livestock side. But going forward, I think if agriculture doesn't do a good job to educate the public, then we're going to meet some unreasonable challenges that are not justified by science, but just by myth.
Absolute last one. So therefore, if you had to do it again, would you have spent more money on public relations and communications and that sort of effort? Or what would you have done differently to maintain your social license, or was that even possible?
You know, we spent $1 million a year campaign. No, I wouldn't spend any more. Our biggest challenge is the hog industry was being trashed by government at a time when we were trying to build our image. So for a lot of those out there that didn't understand it, we had to get to a point where government would stop falsely accusing the hog industry of being the major problem for Lake Winnipeg.
Right. $1 million a year.
Yeah.
Really? Well, I didn't know it was that big a figure.
Our public relations campaign was $1 million a year through various activities, and that's through promotion of pork, through advertising, just through a whole number of events, and just trying to get the public to understand what we do.
Okay. Anything else that you would like to mention or you feel you'd like to add about your time or role at the Pork Council that you think is something relevant or something you'd like to mention?
I guess over my time of Pork Council, there was a lot of challenges. One of them was being the trade case when I first started.
Yep.
We spent $6.3 million to fight that. And then there was a country of origin labeling, a number of things like that. And I guess I could always understand the Americans launching a trade case or country of origin. Trade is doing business.
Yep.
I can understand that. What I could never understand was our own government, from the hog industry, we supply a large number of jobs, a large GDP to the province, and yet they were creating the biggest challenge for the industry.
I know what I wanted to ask you. I'll just add one more here. You know, I've written a lot recently about the sort of labor challenges in the hog industry. If you look at it, the hog industry, just in Manitoba itself, what is your biggest concern? Are you concerned about the lack of labor? Are you concerned about the regulations, you know, trade relations? And what is your biggest concern or worry right now and going forward?
Trade relations are pretty smooth at the moment.
Yep.
Going forward, labor is going to be a huge challenge with the new regulations. You have to also have a very positive image of the industry to get people to want to work in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a challenge. And the other one is the government has put about 20-some, or I can't remember the number, the government has put a large number of new regulations on the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So they've also increased the cost of building, and we're not competitive with the U.S. to build right now.
You mean like safety regulations, or what do you mean?
Environmental regulations, there's just been a whole host of regulations added, which has added to the cost.
Okay.
And the Canadian industry today is not competitive on the building side with the U.S. industry.
Okay.
To be able to replace infrastructure.
Well, somebody gave me a figure of like 50% higher cost here in Canada compared to the States. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, on the building side it is.
Okay.
Yeah, not the actual feeding, but the building side to build infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cost is significantly increased over the last number of years. So going forward, it's going to be the two biggest challenges are going to be replacing that infrastructure and finding labor.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Carl. I appreciate your candor, and thanks for your time.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.